Yeah,
oh, very nice.
You want to stay by my sister?
Where does she live?
Viyaku.
She has one for like 8 people?
Okay, 6 o'clock. Something about my two, we are up to Amarav, Chalam. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th line, Zayinim and Beis. Amarav, Chalam, Amarav. Hashemeya Askaras Hashem Yipicha Deirai. If somebody hears somebody saying Hashem's name in vain from his friend, Tzarech L'Nadaisai, the person deserves to be put in Chayram. V'mloy Nideyu, if he didn't put him in Chayram, who asked me Yehi B'nidoi? He deserves Chayram. Because there's such a severe Avera of mentioning Hashem's name in vain, as Hashem Elokecha, you should fear Hashem, includes, you shouldn't waste, say Hashem's name in vain, that not only does the guy deserve Chayram, but the person who didn't put him in Chayram deserves Chayram for lack of reaction.
Deserves, or is it in?
I was very careful. I know exactly what I said. Zakt the Rashrash, Hashemei Askaras Hashem B'chaveret Tzarechun Adaisai, Namina B'reish Tumura, Azara L'mayti Shem Shemayim L'batalo. Where is there a warning in Torah not to mention Hashem's name in vain? Shenema is Hashem Elokecha Tira. V'mloy Nedeyu, and if he doesn't put him in Chayrim, V'atzma Yei B'nidui Pirish, royally his Nadais. It would be proper to put him in Chayrim. It doesn't become a Chayrim by itself, but it would be proper to place the person in Chayrim. That's how the Rush learns. And so does the Ram. Ram says, the person who mentioned it doesn't go automatically into Chayrim. How could the person that hear it be worse off than the person who mentioned it? That's the Ram's logic. So he says it has to mean that he deserves Chayrim for not reacting. That's the Ram's chat. There's a big...
I'm sorry, so what is his specific reaction supposed to be? If he can't himself, the listener can't himself put someone in Chayrim, not his unilateral ability to do so.
Yes, it is. Every person has the unilateral ability to to excommunicate somebody. There's big...
Vis-a-vis him?
I'm not getting involved in the sugya, but depending on who does it, depends on how many people have to treat him that way. Meaning if Bezen does it, that everybody has to excommunicate him. If an individual does it, so it depends on the level of the individual, but usually it means that this person has to stay away from that person. To me, he's excommunicated. And I can never, and it has to be removed in order for me to ever interact with him. And the question is, how about other people of my ilk? Meaning, are they also affected by my thing or not? I don't know Hilchus excommunication well enough, but every single person has the ability to excommunicate somebody. Whether it means something or not depends whether the person deserved it or not. The Gemara might gotten that somebody, I think it's somebody gotten, that somebody put somebody in excommunication for no reason. So the answer was that doesn't count. You just can't do it whenever you feel like it. But if the person deserves it, then a person can excommunicate. And usually the reason for excommunication, there can be two reasons. It can be monetary, and it can be because he did something wrong. For monetary purposes, you have to have a bezin do it, I believe. You can't excommunicate somebody because for monetary purposes. Bezin can. The guy refuses to keep the law that they passed him. They can excommunicate him for not listening to them. But that's a bezin thing. But for Isser, if you see a person do certain yisurim, and I don't know what they are, you have a right to excommunicate the person. The level of severity of the excommunication has to do with who does it and how long does it have to be on. We will discuss it a little bit later as the Gemara works its way through a little bit. Yes?
There was a bit of a problem with the antecedents there. Who has to keep away from whom?
The person who puts the person who excommunicates,
yes,
has to keep away. Has to stay away from the person he excommunicated. There is a machlokes rishonim by a bracha levatala. Somebody makes a bracha for no reason. Did he violate the issur of Ma'aseh Shem Shemayim levatala or not? There's a Rambam that they learned that the Rambam holds that every bracha levatala is a violation of a biblical law of saying Hashem's name in vain. And other rishonim say no. because you're not mentioning Hashem's name in vain. You're trying to praise Hashem. Unfortunately, in you, it wasn't a necessary praising of Hashem, so it was a waste. But it's not, you can't call the person not treating Hashem's name with respect. He didn't use it in a non-praise of it. He was praising Hashem. He did it not kahalacha. So again, it's machlokes rishonim. They usually bring down that the Rambam is machmer, but other rishonim say you can't call it a violating a deraisa. The deraisa of feeling Hashem means to treat the name of Hashem with respect. This guy did not treat it with disrespect. He made a bracha that was not necessary, but he did meant to praise Hashem. He didn't mean to use it in a non-praise Hashem setting. That's what the machlokes rishonim is. I don't know how we pass the Maisa. We try to be machmer not to make bracha levatalos because of this sheet of Rambam who says that it's done yet rabbishes. That's a machlokes rishonim. I was getting there next. How about if it's English? How about if a person uses Hashem's name in a different language? Yes. So is that considered also Hashem's name in vain or not? So it's a machlokes achrayim. I can't answer the question. The Chofetz Chaim seems to be machmer. He says a person shouldn't say Hashem's name for no reason. But there are names that we do say, but they're not names that we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't call that a name of Hashem, even though we're referring to Hashem, which Hashem. As long as it's not one of the names. Using it in other language seems to be a machlokes achrayim. I don't want to pass in halacha l'maisa, but it seems to be a machlokes achrayim if using Hashem's name is considered in other languages. However, people say it in a respectful way that Hashem should bless him. They might say G-O-D should bless him. I don't know if that's called... I don't know if that's considered in vain. Because it's a praise of us. It is being used in a praise form. But I'm not here to pass the level of the Maisa, so I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would that be a problem?
Shouldn't be a problem.
It's like a bracha.
Yeah, it's like a bracha. Correct. I agree. Again, Rabbi, okay, it's not Levatala. Yes.
Practical question for an aging brain. What if you can't remember for the life of you whether you made a bracha?
You don't make a bracha. Sapik brachas lahaka we pass. You don't know if you made a bracha. This is an issue. Here I am eating my ice cream, and I forgot if I made a shahako. So I'm not allowed to make a shahako because it's a suffix bracha lahako. Can I eat the ice cream? The answer is yes. Suffix bracha lahako doesn't say that you can't make the bracha, but don't continue eating. Suffix bracha lahako says you assume you made the bracha, and you can keep on eating your ice cream.
The best answer would be go get a Coke.
It depends. If you were planning, or if it's normal for you to get these things while you're eating the ice cream, then you don't make a bracha on the cup.
No, I'm saying he already went to the Grand and had to take the loan out, and then he bought that. Then he said, well, you know what? I don't have any bracha.
Again, it depends. First of all, I'm not getting the Bob Brooks brothers now. The minute you buy in Grand and you start eating and you walk out, it's Sheena Mokum. Depending on the circumstance, whether you have to make a new Brook anyway. But I'm not getting it. I'm not learning your brothers now.
But I understand. The guy said, intentionally he went and said Hashem's name in vain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Shaila is, is he excommunicated to you?
No, you have to excommunicate.
Right. Now, in a cause of the avla is so severe, wouldn't you think that you go to Beis Din, tell
them... Here you are busy with Beis Din the whole morning today. Forget about Beis Din.
No, I'm saying, make it big time.
No, you can't.
Everyone's an excommunicated.
If you walk in to Beis Din and say something about a guy, Beis Din doesn't do anything. You're 1-8. Who are you? You walk into Beis Din and say, Reuben killed Shimon. Does it mean anything? Nothing.
No, I'm I know that, but I'm saying...
So then you can't go to Beis Din and do anything.
It's a severe problem.
Yeah, killing, I think, is also rather severe. The Gemara talks himself about a person did a Gila Arayas. And somebody went to Beis Din and told them, we gave the person who came to Beis Din Malchus. He had no business telling Beis Din. Beis Din can't do anything about it. I would think that's a rather severe thing also. It has nothing to do with the severity. Who are you to be blamed? But you can excommunicate him, whatever that's worth. You react. Bezin is not involved here. If two of them go to Bezin, it's a different story. Then maybe Bezin would excommunicate him. Yes?
2 points. I mean, Rashi mentions, I think it's upcoming, that if you see someone who you hate, that you can use that for the question to ask, how are you allowed to hate anyone? I think the definition, if I'm calling this correctly, is not making it up, is that you have seen the person as an ADAF.
Right, correct. Correct.
Yeah, so that would seem to be the situation you were sketching out. You can act on it for yourself.
That's it. That's exactly what I said.
That's what I said.
That's what the Gemara said. What the listener said.
This is the situation you were talking about.
Right. The Gemara, on that Gemara says, you're allowed to hate him.
The other, just the observation, I mean, the idea of Seamus, we've got a real problem with infinite regression in that I have seen people take the habit now of hyphenating the word Hashem, which simply means the name. That are we talking about having the semantic content of the thought?
No, it's the use of the word.
Word being utter,
if you hyphenate it, it's not writing Hashem's name.
Is it even necessary? It's sort of silly. It seems to me sort of silly.
What do you mean?
Hyphenating the name.
What's wrong with it?
Hashem. There's anything wrong. It's so silly.
It's a big machlokes, but you're allowed to write Hashem's name for no reason.
Hashem's the name Hashem.
No, I'm talking about the real name of Hashem.
No, I'm talking about Hashem.
No, Hashem has no reason to hyphenate.
Yeah, no,
internet regression, you can drop the word regression. Internet is a problem. You don't have to get to internet regression.
But at least with the internet.
Okay, I really don't want to get off the subject.
Where Moshe said that you can turn a TV screen off.
Right.
Which has names on it.
Right, that doesn't care. Okay, that's a different story. We don't consider Mechikas Hashem on a computer because it's not really written. It's points of light and things like that. It's a different story.
Again, it's part of the regression problem, whether we're talking about semantic content or object content.
Right. It's object. It's not, okay, I don't want to get involved with that. I'm not sure what the words mean, but whatever the words mean, you can use Hashem without hyphenating it. Yes?
People say Baruch Hashem. Are they saying Hashem meaning the name of Hashem or the name or the word? Hashem.
Baruch Hashem means praise be Hashem. That's what it means.
It means Adosham.
We can refer to Hashem by not using his name.
That's the word.
That's not the name of Hashem.
What are we saying when we're saying Baruch Hashem?
Praise is Hashem.
Not praise the name of Hashem.
No, praise is Hashem. Hashem means the name of Hashem. You can say the Almighty. You can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can say the Rachum V'Chanun. You can say a lot of things that refer to Hashem, but it's not the name of Hashem. The names of Hashem are seven names, Shein and Melchakim. That's all.
When we say Baruch Shem, we're not so long there. We're not saying Hashem at all.
No, we're not. We're saying the name, praise is the name of the honor of his kingdom forever. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach. Let his great name be blessed. Again, it means his name. That's all it means. Now, it's referring to the Rabbi Nishloilam, but again, I use the word Rabbi Nishloilam, but I'm allowed to use that even though I'm referring to the Rabbi Nishloilam, right? But that's not the name of Hashem. It's a reference to him. The seven names are names of Hashem that are Einam
Nimchotu. Now, when Rabbi Schutz was saying A-D,
which we said we can say.
Say it, just saying it.
As a praise of Hashem.
Right, but I mean, bless God, right?
Yes.
And you just say that, right? All
no,
time,
because
all
no,
time.
You can't do that, no, because we don't make brachas levatala.
No, I said...
According to you, why can't I say Shehakol Mi'abedvara 80 times a day?
No, I'm saying, bless God. I mean, I know a person, the answer is me, who always says Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. And my kids hate it. I say it so often. They don't hate it, either. They do,
I also try to say Baruch Hashem. I think it's a very nice thing to
do. You say it too often. Is that
I don't walk around all day saying Baruch Hashem, you know what I mean? Somebody asked me, how are you feeling? I say, Baruch Hashem. Even though Rav Huttner told my yeshiva, that just reflects your religion. It doesn't really answer the question. He told the yeshiva, Chadanishka, Frank, thank religion. He told the yeshiva, I didn't ask for your religion. He asked the yeshiva how he's feeling. The yeshiva said, Baruch Hashem. So Rav Huttner told him, Chadanishka, Frank, thank religion. I didn't ask you what religion you adhered to. I asked you how you're feeling. What? Rav Huttner told my yeshiva. Yeshiva told me, Rav Huttner, bring it up. I didn't ask you Frank on religion. I didn't ask you your religion. I asked you how you're feeling. You didn't answer the question. Okay, we're getting off the subject. I think we should go back to the car.
Made me very happy to know that I thought him like Rav Huttner.
Yeah.
I still don't know. But the majority of speech that people produce is what's called phatic speech, P-H-A-T-I-C, which is simply words and sounds with no medium whatsoever. And I can't imagine that besides anything.
No,
and
okay, again.
The only thing Baruch Hashem is a reflex, which actually Reb Blank posked life and death on, I think in error, but Reb Blank is phatic speech and has no meaning.
Again, Baruch Hashem has content. It means to praise the Hashem. It depends if he knows what he's talking about or he reflects it. Like 90% of the time that people say thank you, they don't mean thank you. But sometimes people do mean thank you. But they say thank you.
I have been told people.
Okay, I think we should go back to the Gemara. That's the Gemara Vayter, if you don't mind. That's the Gemara Vayter, Shekol Mokum. Now, the Gemara tries to stress how important, how severe mentioning Hashem's name in vain is. Shekol Mokum Shaskaras Hashem Mitsuya Shemanias Mitsuya. Poverty is an outgrowth, a consequence of the mention of Hashem's name in vain. That's the punishment that happens because people mention Hashem's name in vain. Vanias kamitza, and poverty is a form of death, meaning it is similar to death. No, he's alive, but the suffering of poverty is one of the four things the Chazal consider similar to death, one of three things that are similar to death. Shenema, kimesu kol anoshim. Okay, this is talking about Gasa Vavira. What happened was, they snitched to Moshe Rabbeinu that he killed Dmitri. Probably wanted to kill him. Hashem says to Moshe, go back to Mitzrayim and don't worry about Gosan Babiram. He may still call Anashim and Mabakshim and Snashecha. Because they all died. And the question is, Gosan Babiram did not die. So what does Hashem mean when he said, he may still call Anashim?
They already did this. Evil deed.
Yeah, but they're not influential anymore. So what they did is not going to affect anything anymore. Again, that's a Chumash question. We'll leave it for Chumash. But Hashem told them, don't worry about Dasa Baviram because they're gone. Kimetsu. Our problem is, it's not true. They were very well alive. They were still alive by the Maisa Kairach. So they've been around. So what does it mean, Kimetsu? So the Gemara says, there are four things that are like death. One is a Mitzayra. A Mitzayra is considered Chash of Kemes. One is somebody that doesn't have children. It's considered like Kemes because he has no continuity. One is blindness, Rachman al-Litzvan. Somebody who's blind. Suma Chash of Kemes. He has trouble existing in the world. And one is poverty.
That's four.
Again. Forget about death. Four are like death. Poverty, blindness, tzaras, and somebody who doesn't have children.
Four.
I said four like death. Four besides death. So which one did Dasan Aviram have? They didn't have children. Says the Pharisee and the Pasuk that them and their children went down. I mean, they did have children. Did they come blind? It's not. It says, I ain't not coming to not here. They told Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you'd blind us. That means they weren't blind. Tzaras, you can say, they had tzaras. They got healed by Matan Torah. But if they got healed by Matan Torah, it came back by the eagle. And we don't find that they were Mitzrayim in the story of Kairach. So the only one that's left of the four is that they became impoverished. So Hashem told them, Kimetsu, and the only one we can figure out that Kimetsu means is poverty of the four things the Chazal tell us are similar to death. So therefore we see the punishment, the severity of the punishment of somebody who says Hashem's name in vain, because you see, it causes poverty, which is similar to death. And Vatanya, Kamakim Trinasnu Chachamim Einehem, whenever the Chachamim look disparagingly at people, by Misa, it can cause death, by Aini. We find Rav Chazal, he looked at him and he became a pile of bones. He looked at him and it caused financial damage. So we see that they're equated. Both times the results of the Chachamim, this is just proving the equation of the two, that both times when the Chachamim look at a person disparagingly, it causes a huge reaction, and the two that we find the Chazal that it causes is death or poverty. And therefore, we see that there's an equation between the two.
Do we know that they used death and value, used Hashem's name in vain?
No, they didn't. We're trying to prove the severity of poverty. That's all. The Gemara tells us a fact, that wherever Askaras Hashem is found, poverty is found. Now, how bad is poverty? You want to know how bad poverty is? I'll tell you how bad poverty is. Zucked.
I mean, we're just saying that mentioning Hashem's name in vain, that's not enough.
I fail to see what you're driving at.
We're trying to say...
We're trying to prove the severity of it.
What I was saying is, mention Hashem's name in vain without these stored, without these chazal...
Did not prove the severity of it. Correct. Correct. To show severity, we show the punishment. Shabbos is severe because it's skila. You look at punishments to determine the severity of the avera.
You give an example. You show that poverty and that how severe it is that's related to it. Wouldn't you give an example of someone who used the name and then became really poor?
We're not here to show examples. The Gemara doesn't show an example.
You see a connection between using Hashem's name in vain and poverty. That's what you're trying to show.
No, we're not.
No,
the Gemara does not show that. The Gemara states that as a fact. The Ram wants to know how do we know it. We'll figure that out in a second. But the Gemara that you see from the consequence of poverty how severe it is, because poverty is very severe. How do I know poverty is considered very severe? So the Gemara says, I can prove that. But the Gemara does not show you the source that using Hashem's name in vain does cause this poverty. But let's do the Rush first, and then we'll get to that, Ron. Zuck the Rush. Hashemaya, I did that already. Shekol Malkim Shasoras Hashem Metzuya Shamanias Metzuya. So the Rush brings the source also. The fifth. Whenever I allow you to mention my name, I will bless you. Blessing means riches. So when Hashem says I will bless you, included in blessing is wealth. And since you see saying Hashem's name correctly causes wealth, so the inference is, Mechlaud Asaras Avera Medaldelus. And this is what the Ram says too. You see from the Pasuk, whenever I allow you to mention my name and you mention it, you will get blessed. That means mentioning Hashem's name the right way is a cause for blessing, and blessing translates into riches. So if the right way causes riches, the inference is the wrong way causes the opposite way of riches, which is poverty. The Gemara proves that Mesu means they got poor. I told you the proof, because the other three things didn't apply to them. Since it causes Anias and Misa, because it's like Misa, so the reaction is more severe than every other Avera. And therefore it says that anybody that doesn't react, he himself deserves chayrim. The Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, we didn't have the name in our Gemara. Kol makom shenasnu chachamim meinayim ay misa yayini. U'maisi oid raya, the Gemara is bringing another proof. She'ayini shaku kemisa. That poverty equals death. Does that mean I'm becoming a medlikim? Now, the Rush brings you two stories Tami Madama Dochti, Nasid Aina Boyman Nasid Gaushal Atsamit. We see that when Rabbanan look at somebody, they can cause death. We find many places in Shas that they looked at somebody and he became a pile of stone, bones, which means they basically killed him. And that shows that it causes death. Aini, where do we find that the Rabbanan looked at somebody and it caused poverty? So it's an interesting thing that the Rosh brings. The Perek by Mem Adlikin says, Rav Shimon and Rav Lazar Benai, Rav Shimon ben Yochai and his son Rav Lazar were in a cave for 13 years. And when they came out, wherever they looked at people who were engaged in Gashmias, the item that the people were working with got burnt up. That means they caused tremendous financial loss, poverty, because they saw people wasting their time in pursuit of physicality, and they were in a high level for 13 years. They had totally been separated from this world, and they were living at a very high level. So wherever they looked, it burnt up the items. That means they caused poverty. That's what it means. So you see that they looked and caused poverty. Where's the Gemara thing? He finishes. So they went back. Hashem told them to go back to the cave. Then they came out, and they didn't do it. So my yeshiva brought a raya from this Gemara, that the higher madrega you're on, you can control it more. You would think they go back to the cave, they're even a higher level. So how did that solve the problem? The answer is, it solved the problem by they were able to contain it. The higher madrega is to contain that level and not have that immediate reaction. That's my yeshiva brought a raya, because the Vel brings a raya, the Kutzker Rebbe brings a raya, from the Gemara by Rabbi Yonasan ben Aziel. The Gemara says that any bird that flew over him got burnt. So the question is, his Rebbe Hill, who was his Rebbe, did it get burnt? Dr. Kutzker Rebbe, no. He was on a higher level that it didn't get burnt. That he was able to contain it that it didn't get burnt. The problem with Dr. Gemara is that the Ritva says that he asked the Kasha, Dr. Ritva, that Hill, not only the birds that flew on him, but any bird that was within Dawud Amas. So it means the Ritva did not learn like the Kutzker Rebbe, not that it's learning, and therefore it wasn't such a good raya if you learned like the Ritva. So my Rashiva held that this is a good raya, sent them back to the cave, and then they came out and they didn't burn things. That means they learned to contain, which is a higher level, and that's another thing. But the Kutzker Rebbe says it on Hill. That's what the world quotes it on. That you see from there that the higher level you are, you're able to contain yourself. You don't react automatically. I'm sorry? I have no idea. It could be because it said that the property went down the soil. But we're talking about at that point when Hashem told him to go back.
He brings down that the kid thing is that there's no rhyme with the kids. The kids wouldn't have made a difference.
Right, that's what the Ron says. Like he says.
I just
don't. Yes, you're right. You're right, my mistake.
No, I won't say mistake.
No, I'll say mistake.
What did
Ron say? Ron says, how do we know that it wasn't that they didn't have kids? He said it wouldn't have affected their influence in Parai. The only thing that affected the influence of Parai would be they got blind, they're mitzuroim, they're poor. Presidential candidates don't listen to the poor. They listen to the billionaires, right? There's a reason for that. That's the Derech Haylam. Such an alma de shikra drives me crazy. Such a false world. The whole world is so full of sheker. You have people spitting out of their mouth, pure sheker. And everybody swallows it up like crazy people. It's mamish, there's no shred of truth. It's mamish, a world of sheker. And that's how people exist. It's amazing. Okay, this is what it is. Baruch Hashem, we have Torah. What can I tell you? I have to swallow all that garbage. Not to come out of my turn. I'm Rabbi Gidla Marav. Tamachachem menadah le'atzmai or mefer le'atzmai. A Tamachachem has the ability, there's machlokes if you shade him here, but let's just learn the case.
We did that four already?
I'm sorry, I skipped. You're right. I'm Rabbi Abba. I'm a ki'im ne'kameh de Ravuna. I was standing in front of Ravuna. Shamalach Itza, the Avka Skars Hashem Levatala. And he heard, Rav Huna heard, I was standing there, and Rav Huna heard a woman say Hashem's name in vain. Shemta, he put it in a cherem. The sorry of Alter Bapa. But he removed the cherem immediately. Put it in a cherem, and five minutes, two minutes, 8 minutes, I have no idea, he removed the cherem while she was still there. Shema Mina Tla, we learn three halachas. Shema Mina Haske Hashemei Haskoros Hashem B'chavei V'etrechlum V'esai. You see, Rav Huna kept halacha. If you hear somebody say Hashem's name in vain, you're supposed to excommunicate it, which is he did. Shema Mina Nidol B'fanav E'matirin V'yel B'fanav. He wanted her to be there when he removes it. So if not, he was going to have to go look for her, because excommunication has to be removed in front of the person, as we mentioned yesterday, for one of two reasons. There's no need for a time span between putting a person into cherem and removing it. So the Rishonim have a big problem with this. Let's see the Rush first, and then we'll talk about the Rishonim. So here is the Shiloh. The Gemara says in Ma'at Katan that anybody put in cherem for violating an Isser has to be in cherem for 30 days. And here the Gemara says that he removed it right away. So there are two ways to resolve the question. The Tysus asked this kasha, the Rush asked this kasha, and Tysus answers that the Abshad is that this nidoi is only to frighten the person from not doing it again. The reaction of putting the person in excommunication is not to punish him for saying Hashem's name in vain. It's an interesting point, because for the Gemara, it's mashma, it's a punishment. But it's only to impress upon them, you're ruining, you're hurt, you're causing poverty. And therefore, that kind of nidoy that's only there to scare the person can be removed right away. The Riff, the Rush, as we will see, learned that this Gemara argues on the Gemara Ma'at Katan, and is saying you don't need 30 days to be a nidoy. It's not, we're not reconciling the two. It is a machlokes. And this Gemara is saying, Rav Huna is paskening that you don't need 30 days. Let's see the Rush. Says it clearly. Even for doing something that's hefkadik, meaning non-tyritic. It's to exclude from the Madam Ma'at Katan. It says, Hadim Yilu Ma'ayna, Avalaf Karusa, the Chayla Le'Sham Tidra Banu Klasin Yemen. It says there, that for a thing of Hefker, of Isser, it has to be a 30-day. Our Gemara is saying, do not punish Paskim that way. Not to Gemara
Ma'at Katan. What was the Tapas doing?
She got a message, clear. She was put in cherem. It's not a good feeling to be told you're excommunicated. She didn't know he was going to remove it right away. And first of all, person doesn't want to be excommunicated even for a second. It's not a simple thing, excommunication. You learn the Gemara Ma'at Katan. There's consequences to the neshama, to the heebie-jeebies from cherem. It's not a simple thing. Nobody wants to be put in cherem. Yes? What? Halacha l'maisa? I'm not sure. I think we passed that. But again, I didn't look up the halacha because I don't think I don't put anybody in cherem for Hashem, so I didn't look it up. Yes? I believe not. I saw it discussed. If I remember correctly, it's only if a yid does it. If a guy is Masker Shem Shemayim Lebatala, does there have to be a reaction? I believe not. Again, I'm not saying halacha l'maisa. My memory, which I don't rely on much, I try not to, tells me that it's not negaya. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that a yid that has, I mean, it's a frightening thing, yeah, just to say it over, it makes me tremble. A yid that has a bad thought does more damage than Titus did when he was Baal of Zayin in the Kach of Kedashim on a Sefer Torah. Because we're connected to all the worlds. Behind the Lozhiner. And Nefesh HaChayim. And Ruach HaChayim. That a Yid who has a Machshav HaRah, it's in Ruach HaChayim also. It's in both. I said it's in Nefesh HaChayim and in Ruach HaChayim. I said both. That a Yid who has a Machshav HaRah does more damage than Titus did when he was Baal of Zayin Bebeis Katshe Kedashim on a Sefer Torah. So a guy speaking Shem Shemayim Levatala has no consequence. I mean, he's that thing. Not in that, you know, he's not in that thing. But I know it's a Shaila, I know they discussed it, but I think that's what they said.
I think also it's important, Rebbe, to say, you know, a person can think too about himself. You're putting this guy in Chayram, you yourself are a piece of garbage.
Depends on the guy Nevis, yeah. So what are you trying to say? Anivas, false Anivas is to say, I'm not capable of doing something. Right? The Chofetz Chaim talks about this, all the people talk about it. People that are involved in everything, and all of a sudden when it comes to standing up for Yiddishkeit, who am I? Like, let other people take care of it, who am I? All of a sudden, Anivas comes into play. You have an obligation. This is your chiyuv. Your chiyuv is to put the guy in chayrim. I don't care who you are. So you're nobody. So the nobody's putting somebody in the chayrim.
Anybody
can put anybody in. Yes, we talked about that. Yes. Yes. Harvey asked that question in the beginning. Yes. Everybody has the power to excommunicate. The degree of excommunication varies between who put the guy in chayrim and not. Like I said, we're not learning those halachas now. It makes a big difference who puts the guy in chayrim. How does the chayrim affect the subject? Who has to stay away from him? That's a whole sugya might cut. Talmud Chacham Menada La'atzmai Umeifer La'atzmai. The Talmud Chacham can excommunicate himself and then remove it. Now, the Rashi points out that the word Meifer is not really the right word to use, because Meifer is a husband to a wife, a father to a daughter. Any other thing is called Hatara, removal, not a nullifying. It's just which word to use. The Rashi just says it means Hatara. Shita, what's the Chiddush? Now the Tei Mei Chobot.
Why is Rebbe saying that now?
Because the Rashi says it.
Before that says the same thing. En Mei Nidri Lafara.
Correct. The Rashi says it here. Interesting. Now the Tei Mei Chobot Matatzer Beis Hasur. I would think a prisoner can't release himself, so how can the person remove his own excommunication? Kamash Malon. Now, it's a very strange thing. Hamachachim puts himself in Cherem, and then he removes it. So, exactly what's happening here. So we're going to have a Machlokes Rishayim, but I'd rather read the next piece of Gemara and then come to the Machlokes Rishayim. Hey, Chidami, what is the story? Where do we see this thing that Hamachachim put himself in Cherem and then removed it? He had the Marzut Rechsida, that was his name. He Machayev Barbe Rav Shamta. When there was a Talmud Chacham that did something that required him to be put excommunicated. So Marzutra had a problem. He had a problem putting that Talmud Chacham into Chayrim. The person's a Talmud Chacham. You don't want to put a Talmud Chacham into Chayrim, but you have to, because the halacha required that Talmud Chacham be put into Chayrim for whatever he did. So what he did is, Meshambet Nafshe Bereisha, he put himself into excommunication. So therefore, what the purpose of that is, we will see. The Hadim Meshamed Barbe Rav, then that Talmud Chacham and Chayrim, the Ayel based it when he went home. So now he's home, he's going to be excommunicated. Shari Lenavshe took off his own, Vahadim Shari Le, and then took up the Talmud Chacham. So we saw that he did this. He put himself in Chayrim and he removed it. So that's the Raya, that Talmud Chacham can put himself in Chayrim and we'll discuss a few questions. Dr. Ash, Umeifer, Lav Davka, the Chacham Boy Lashon HaTorah. Mal Detei Mein HaChomish Me'atar Atzal Beis Asurim. Kehecha the Matzinu Gabe HaTorah Sadar. When a person wants to remove a debtor, the way in a Meichu, he can't remove his own debtor. Ava Achere Meichlam Boy. Others can remove it. Mesham Beit Nam Sheva Adem Mesham Beit Turban Rabbana. Why did he do this? Dr. Ash, Dr. Shem Kovet HaTorah HaYekasha Ve'einai Lintaisai. He had respect for the Talmud Chacham. He had a difficult putting the Talmud Chacham in Chayrim. Because I mean, the Pei Kvok is Sinagu. And the Gemara says, Psachim. The Maravan Eretz Yisrael, Mimni and Ginegida, the Betorvim Rabbanam, the Mimni and Hashamta. They rather give Malkus to Talmud Chacham than to excommunicate. It was a feat. You don't put Talmud Chacham in Chayrim. These people have covered HaTorah. But he had to do it over here. And it was difficult. So so he put himself in the chayim first, so it made it less difficult. I'm also in the same position. That's one reason that he would do that. To remove the Kavanat Torah part, meaning he does it to himself, and then he doesn't feel so bad, including the Talmud Chacham, to where he is. Inami, today Shlo Yisatzo, the Yishkech Malahatir. The other reason to say he did it this way is if he's in there communicated, it's going to be on his mind, and he will remove it from the Talmud Chacham right away. This way, he won't remember to do it right away. Right? The person has to stay in Chayrim for whatever reason. He wants to leave him there for 20 minutes. But who's going to remember in 20 minutes? So he puts himself in Chayrim, and therefore he'll remember to remove the other one, too. Shari Lenavshe, why did he remove it for himself? So he kosh lunch a base of Bidabra Melov. He's going to come, wait a minute. His family, he's going to go home. He's excommunicated. His family can't have any connection to him. But he's going home. So he removed it so he can have connection with his family. Then the Yavai Zakai, the Yatir Zakai. Once he's off, you don't want somebody in excommunication to remove somebody else's excommunication. So first he removed his own, then he removed somebody else. Give me 2 minutes. There's a Machlokes in Shainim, whether this only applies to a case like Mazutra, meaning it wasn't a real obligation of excommunication. He did it because of honor, or he shouldn't forget. So then he can remove his own. But if a person really deserves excommunication, even if it's a Talmud Chacham, he cannot excommunicate himself and remove it himself. Only in a case when he's doing it as a extra, then he has the ability to remove it and put himself. But in a regular case, no. Ran argues. The Ran says, if that were the case, why did the Gemara say Pshita? First thing the Gemara said is Pshita. If you're telling me it only applies in certain cases, it's not Pshita. Then everyone around argues, and he says, since the Talmud Chacham is honest with himself, that he's willing to excommunicate himself, that means he's real. That means he's not trying to skirt the issue. He did something, he knows he deserves excommunication, he excommunicates himself. That means he realizes he's being truthful, not trying to deny and hide behind his negiyah. So that kind of a person, when he feels he learned the lesson, and he can remove it, has a right to remove it. That's the Ran Shita. Not only in a case when it's an extra, that's the story we found, but even in a case where he deserves it. The fact, a normal person doesn't react about himself, comes up with 16 rationales of why he's different. He didn't. This Talmud Chacham was honest and straight. If he's so honest and straight that he did it to himself, we can trust him that he knows when he learned his lesson that he can remove it. Well, that's the Ran Shita. Yes, that must have been.
Bar Zutra obviously doesn't hold that the subject of the excommunication has to be there for study.
I don't know if he did it in front of him. It's a very good point. But it could be he excommunicated him not in front of him. And then you don't have to be there. But you're bringing an excellent point. Bring up an excellent point. Could be he did it not in front of him. Sent him a message. And then he removed it not in front of him, but it's a good point. Yes?
Although we do see a number of instances in the Hungary cases where if you have two objects, one of which is in front of you, one of which is not, and you do the action of the one in front of you, it has effects on just that object.
I'm trying to find out what you...
That if since it was the cessation of the... was effective on
Bar Zutra,
it became effective on...
That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara says he removed his own and then removed the other person's. Now, there's a Machlokes Rishonim. Is a wife obligated to honor the excommunication of her husband? Or is a wife absolved? She doesn't have, meaning her husband got excommunicated. Does the wife have to treat him that way? Or can she have contact with him? Because she's his wife, she's not considered everybody else. And the raya the Ravid brings is that Gemara has a shayla Ma'at Katan, is that somebody in excommunicated allowed to have relationships with his wife. Now how can that be a shayla if she's not allowed, if she has to keep excommunication? She can't be in his forearm. She can't talk to him. She's not allowed to be there. That's a raya that she's not bound by excommunication laws. She's an exception. The bar wants to know, is he allowed to have relationships or not? That's his punishment. But not because she's excommunicated. That's what the Ravid Paskin suggests.
They don't bring the Shiloh of Hughes Mitzora, right?
The Gemara brings the Shiloh about Mitzora also. There. Really? Yeah, in Light Cotton, you have to learn the Sugya of Daftez Lava Midbeis.
There's a Shiloh
before. Anyway, it's not a Shiloh, but that's not the point here.
No,
Mitzora is our Sibbatas Mishamit, yes.
Well, I've got the question that can a person take action himself?
I have no idea what you mean.
As a person allowed...
That's a monetary question of other
things.
It's a monetary question that you're dealing with. Maran Baba Kama, whether a person can do other things, you know,
and that's not applied here.
No, there's not. The Ran gets out of the Raya, and he says it could be that a Menuda is Menuda to his wife. The Gemara is saying, in case not, is he Mutter Matas Mishamita? Like a second Shiloh. That's how the Ran gets out of the Raya Vidraya. But that's the Raya Vidraya that a woman is exempt from her husband, yes.
Is Bobby Rupp, he deserves to be put into.
Who? No, he did not deserve to be put in Chayim.
He did not deserve.
He did it for one of two reasons, the Rush says. Either because he felt very guilty putting a Tamil Chacham into Chayim. So this way it alleviated his, I'm also in Chayim. A Tamil Chacham is a Tamil Chacham. You treat him differently. You know, it's very difficult to put a Tamil Chacham in Chayim.
The other person was Barbie Rowe?
No, the other person was a Tamil Chacham, right.
Did he deserve to be?
Yes, he did something wrong. Tamil Chacham can also do things wrong. Again, because we don't like, the Gemara says in Ma'at Katan, we'd rather give a Tamil Chacham Malkus than put him in Chayim. We're very hesitant to put a Tamil Chacham in Chayim. The mile of a Tamil Chacham, you don't play around with him. He deserves it. So Mazutra was in a quandary. So what he did is put himself in Chayim, and therefore didn't feel that it was so bad to put the Tamil Chacham in Chayim, but he's also in Chayim. That's the first reason in Rush. Second reason in Rush, he put himself in Chayim so he should remember to remove it as soon as he can.
He's saying Hashem's name in vain. It brings poverty, this. Oh, but don't worry, you can live with your wife. It doesn't make any sense. This is the worst thing you can do, say Hashem's name in vain, and we have a kula because you want to live with your wife. What's the logic behind it?
What do you mean? He can't deal with it. He can't go to shul. He can't get an aliyah. He can't daven for the Amud. People stay 4 amas away from him. They stay 4 amas away from him.
We'll be makel with this.
It's his wife.
Therefore what? You did the Vera? Oh, you know what?
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't write the law books. What can I tell you?
No, I'm saying
I'm glad that Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch, not you.
You know what? You can't give a person ski law because his wife's going to be hurt.
Again, let me just say it one more time.
Have you no consideration for your wife?
She's listening. Your wife's listening now when you're saying this.
No, she's saying, do you cut those stones?